Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The spotlight's about to shift in the Adelson family saga, and this time it's squarely on Donna. For years, she's been this name circling in the background of the Dan Markell murder case, the one people speculated about, debated over, and waited to see if prosecutors should finally take a run at. Well, the wait is over. Jury selection is underway. The charges are on the table. First-degree murder, conspiracy, solicitation. And now it's Donna's turn to stand where her son Charlie and others have already stood. In the defendant's chair. Facing the possibility of the rest of her life behind bars. But here's the thing. Prosecuting Donna isn't exactly the same playbook as prosecuting Charlie. She's not accused of pulling the trigger or handing over the cash to the hitman directly. Pretty close, though. Her alleged fingerprints are on different parts of the plot, a money trail of checks written from the family dental business to an already convicted co-conspirator. Just for a second, how are they planning on explaining that to their accountants? Who is this to? Is this a subcontractor over here? Is like, how are you going to explain this? I'm going to guess that's probably the road they thought. We'll just say she's a contractor. She's an independent contractor that we're paying. I guess if she wasn't convicted of co-conspiring a murder, now it looks kind of bad. There's coded phone calls that read less like careful denials and more like thinly veiled admissions. $1 million relocation offer that could be painted as either a generous settlement or a bribe to get Dan Markell to surrender his children's residence. And of course, that infamous one-way ticket to Vietnam purchased as she was being arrested. The prosecution will have to stitch all that together into a coherent narrative. A woman with motive, deep involvement in the custody battle, means, access to family resources and connections, and opportunity in the form of long-standing communications with key players in the plot. It's a case heavy on circumstantial evidence, but it's also full of pieces that, once connected, are hard to ignore. On the flip side, the defense will almost certainly try to soften her image, play up her age, cast her as an over-involved grandmother caught up in a family nightmare she didn't orchestrate, and remind jurors that several people are already serving decades for this crime. So how does a prosecutor approach someone like Donna? What do you lead with in opening statements? How do you take circumstantial evidence and turn it into a story the jury believes beyond a reasonable doubt? And how much of her association with convicted co-conspirators do you lean on without letting the defense spin it as guilt by association? Joining me to dissect the prosecution's playbook and the landmines on both sides, defense attorney and former prosecutor and Hidden Killers contributor, Eric Fattis. Eric, let's dive into it.
You know, if I am her defense counsel, the way that I would approach it is essentially characterizing it as, you know, someone who is a protected and perhaps or protective and perhaps over-involved mother is not necessarily the same person who is involved in a murder-for-hire plot. You know, I think they're going to have to style it as, hey, she was being attentive to her son and also to this sort of family dispute that was going on with Wendy Adelson. And, you know, simply wanting to protect the son and being involved in the conversations, being apprised of what's going on isn't necessarily the same as enlisting someone to kill somebody else. I think that's the horse they're going to have to ride. We'll see if the jury buys it.
That she's just completely aloof, basically. Donna's just aloof. You also have...
Yeah, and protective as a mother. And yeah.
How do you think the jury's going to take the Vietnam getaway? I know some of the verbiage that she said on this. Well, me and Harvey went there a long time ago, which I don't even know if that's true, if she went there a long time ago, but she claims that they did. I'm sure that could be found out. And we just wanted to go and get away because it was so much stress. And it's if you just take a step back and not go, you're clearly guilty, Donna. If you just take a step back and go, well, shit, like if I found out my son had conspired to kill the ex-husband of his sister to make me happy so the kids could come live with us, but I had nothing to do with this, that would be very frustrating because everybody's going to be looking at you like you had something to do with it. It would be a headache. It would be more than a headache. It'd be hell. I could see wanting to get out of Dodge and wanting to go somewhere far away where I'm not going to be recognized just for my own sanity. So on that argument, I mean, it doesn't seem that crazy, but the fact that it's a one-way ticket, that's you should have just got a return flight. Never got on the flight, but then at least it looks like it's a vacation. Because right now it just looks like you're fleeing the country. Is that an oversight on Donna's part?
Oh, absolutely. And I think there is some traction to the possible explanation that, hey, she was just so overwhelmed with this horrible family drama. She needed a breather and, gosh, let's go to a country far away and try to forget about this. But yeah, the one-way ticket isn't great. The fact that Vietnam is a country that doesn't extradite to the U.S. typically isn't great. You know, most countries do. And so the country she picked, the fact that it's a one-way ticket, the timing of her attempt to skedaddle is really going to, according to the prosecution, show consciousness of guilt. And what consciousness of guilt do you have if you were just being a protective mother who had no involvement in the murder for hire plot?
Poor Donna. She's so misunderstood. She's so prosecuted. She's just trying to skedaddle away, and they had to interrupt her trip. Yeah. Let's talk about the prosecution of Donna Adelson, now that we've kind of gone through her defense strategies here, which don't seem to be great. As a prosecutor, is this an easy one? Is this an easy one to go after because there's a lot of stuff here? Or what sort of strategy would you employ going at Donna? It's not Charlie. It's Donna this round. What would you be introducing here as you you bring in opening statements?
You know, I don't think it is an overwhelmingly strong case. I think there is a good amount of circumstantial evidence. There's a good amount of reasonable inferences that one can draw from, like you said, the jail calls, the verbiage used, that kind of thing. I think you look at the hard evidence you have, which are these payments. That is just inexplicable. I haven't heard any innocent explanation for why Donna Adelson would pay from the family business this intermediary in a murder for hire plot. And then you also look at her motivation. She was very involved in this custody dispute there was actually like a motion filed against her in the custody dispute regarding her ability to have unsupervised visitation with the grandchildren. You know, so she had a motive. She had a reason. It's not just, you know, someone who's incidentally, you know, connected in that way. And so you look at motive, you look at the financial transactions that are really hard to explain. You couple that with the jail calls which, you know, although they use coded language, you know, she talks about like using a TV as code word, perhaps, for some nefarious activity. You look at how many times she uses TV in those jail calls, you connect the dots for the jury and you say, hey, here, this is enough. You guys get it.
I want to talk about another piece of evidence here that we haven't touched on yet. And it's not, you know, it's not a murder weapon. It's not a check written to a killer's friend. It's none of that. It's a bribe that she attempted to throw out there. $1 million. And the whole family was going to pool together their cash and get $1 million and offer it. They did offer it to Dan Markell. Hey, you let the kids move down here. We're going to give you $1 million, you know, for your time and inconvenience, which, you know, asking someone to abandon their children, essentially, or it can be looked at as, look, we know this is not something you want to do. Here's $1 million. Maybe you move down here too. But I mean, it can look very nefarious. It can look very reasonable or generous even in some ways of, we know this is a horrible inconvenience. This sucks. Not everybody's going to offer $1 million in a custody dispute to have the other parent give up rights. Most people don't have the means to do something like that. How do you think that's going to play to the jury? Because I could see it being spun, you know, both ways with variable success.
Oh, sure. I think there are multiple interpretations of it. You know, I think the prosecution will likely be able to strongly argue how invested Donna Adelson was in this entire dispute, the lengths to which she would be willing to go. $1 million? That's a ton of money to just try to resolve some kind of family law case. So she is in this matters to her. And if she's willing to go to that length, are there other extreme lengths to which she's willing to go in order to get the outcome she wants? And then, you know, lo and behold, Dan Markell is killed. And now she does have the outcome she wants temporarily. And so, you know, you can kind of connect the dots between those states of affairs.
How damning is it that Charlie was convicted? We're going into this. Obviously, this Charlie was the first one that went down, other than the hitman and McBonna. So actually, Charlie wasn't the first one. The first of the Adelsons to go down. So you already had the two dominoes that fell. Then Charlie fell. This is the next one in the line of dominoes, really. When you have three people who are now already incarcerated for this murder, is it easier then to pull a fourth person in to show, see, this is obviously already going on. This seems to make a lot of sense. It's not a single case on its own where you have to show that all of these things were in motion. That's already been proven.
There is certainly a sort of guilt by association type of feel to it. You know, you're so close with these other people who are convicted in this murder for hire plot, and your involvement seems significant. On the other hand, I think it gives the defense a possible argument that they can make to this jury, like, hey, look, you guys have your pound of flesh. There are four people in prison for decades for this, and those are the four people who are most involved. You know, did this grandma get caught up in some form or fashion in an unfortunate circumstance with this custody battle and this tragedy that happened, perhaps. But I think they're going to style her as kind of a sympathetic old lady, or try to, and say that, hey, you guys have your pound of flesh. You don't need another, you know, 70-year-old in a box for the rest of her life.
Do you think we're going to see a different Donna Adelson at the trial than we've seen in these pretrial hearings? The one that's whining about, you know, not having a thick enough mattress and chill, and, oh my gosh, my earwax is piling up and I can't hear. What? Are we going to see that Donna, or are we going to see frail Donna, confused Donna? Maybe Donna in a wheelchair. That would be a neat little touch.
Yeah.
That I think would, if you're the defense attorney, I think I might be going down that road. Or is that just kind of, you know, playing it up a little too much?
You don't want to overdo it. And you want to be truthful, of course, about what you're presenting. But that being said, I think we might see kind of a Robert Durst approach here. Robert Durst was on trial for murder, and he was up in age, and he, you know, had a catheter in and in a wheelchair, could barely move, could barely talk. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is how Adelson presents while she is in court.
What if they tried to make her look like Robert Durst? Like, literally tried to make her look like it was Halloween. Donna Adelson is Robert Durst for Halloween. Help or hurt Donna.
Scary trial. No, yeah.
Do you think, obviously, you know, is Donna the last of the dominoes to fall here? After this thing is done, is Harvey going to get hit? Is Wendy going to get hit? Or are they, have they reached their conclusion?
You know, my apprehension was that they would have tried to rope in these folks earlier, including Donna. I'm surprised that she sort of is facing this at this stage. I thought they would try to bundle these things together. Wendy, to my knowledge, has not been charged. Harvey has not been charged, although he was going on the Vietnam trip for a one-way ticket to an unextraditable country. So that's suspicious. That being said, haven't heard charges against them. You know, what could evidence at this trial change the game and result in more folks being implicated? It could.
What's clear from this conversation is that Donna Adelson's prosecution will hinge on connecting a lot of dots and making those connections stick in the minds of 12 jurors. The state has no shortage of dots to work with. The checks to Catherine McBona, the alleged coded language in the phone calls, the million-dollar relocation offer to Dan Markell, her deep involvement in the custody battle, and yes, the one-way ticket to Vietnam. On paper, each of these can be kind of explained away. The defense will try to do exactly that, but together, the prosecution will argue they form a picture of motive, means, and intent. Eric's point about this being a circumstantial case is important. Circumstantial doesn't mean weak, but it does mean the state has to be disciplined in how they tell the story. They'll need to make the financial trail feel more like, or feel like more than accounting quirks. Make the Vietnam trip feel like more than bad optics. And make the jail call sound like more than a worried mother talking to her son. Let's not forget the shadow of prior convictions. The jury will know directly or indirectly that Charlie Adelson, Catherine McBona, and the hired gunman are already serving time for this murder. That can cut both ways. It reinforces that a conspiracy existed, but it also opens the door for the defense to argue that the real conspirators are already behind bars and Donna's just a grandmother being dragged down by proximity. And there's the theater of it all. Will we see trial Donna, subdued, frail, perhaps taking cues from the Robert Durst playbook instead of the pre-trial version, complaining about mattresses and earwax? Presentation matters, and the defense knows it. And looming over the whole thing, the question of whether Donna testifies, and if she does, everything we've talked about, the payments, the calls, the trip, gets answered in her own words under cross-examination. If she doesn't, the jury is left to weigh the prosecution's story against whatever doubt her lawyers can raise without her voice. Either way, this is the state shot to prove that Donna wasn't just aware of a family conspiracy. She was part of it. Whether they can do that convincingly will decide if she walks out of that courtroom someday or if she becomes the next Adelson serving a life sentence. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us. Press subscribe first, then let us know your thoughts in the comment section. Do that same search wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our commentary and our interviews and discussions and live coverage of this case. As it continues on, we're going to keep putting it out there for you every single day. So hit subscribe. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.